Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You know, rush hour is really a terrible misnomer. First of all, it generally lasts longer than an hour. And second of all, there's nothing rushed about it. If you're driving at 7 or 8 a.m., for example, in most metro areas, you can add about an hour to your commute time. It's a simple problem. Everyone's driving at the same time. There's too many cars in one place. Traffic slows to a crawl. But what if you could take the rush out of the hour? What if you could bribe some people to travel maybe a half hour earlier or a half hour later? That's an idea that's being tried out at Stanford University in California. The program is called CAPRI. That's for Congestion and Parking Relief Incentives. And it has already led some Stanford drivers, like Amaya Odiaji, the director of business operations for Stanford's physical education department, to change their behavior, namely drive to work later in the day. Amaya recently won $15 in the program.
The incentives for the CAPRI program, there's two different ways. One is a fund. You can sign in to the website and do like a game where you spin to win rewards, or you can sign up for smaller amount cash incentives. Several of my coworkers, we win $5 one week, $10. So it's just a fun way to get a little extra money in your paycheck as well as shorten your commute.
California is certainly not the first place to introduce these kinds of incentive programs. And so we wondered, what kind of incentives would you like to see in your own community? Andrea in Manhattan texted this, $5 a day to give up a car commute and paid for in asthma cost savings. And we got more ideas like this from Glenn in Michigan. Volunteer to clean parks and help the needy to get games, tickets to games or concerts. Or you got this one, discounts for bringing your own bag to shop with or refill your cup for beverage purchases. Kill plastics. But in the long run, do incentives change behavior? Rachel Weinberger might be able to answer that question. In addition to being professor of city and regional planning at the University of Pennsylvania, she's also the author of Auto Motives, Understanding Car Use Behaviors, and she joins us in studio. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm happy to be here, Celeste.
So that's my first question. Do these kind of incentives program, I mean, they're fun and I imagine people would try it out, but do they actually create a habit? Do they change someone's permanent behavior?
That's a great question, and it'd be interesting to see how this Stanford experiment plays out in the long run. But the thing that we understand from Amaya Odiaji is that she's not actually that worried about congestion. She's in the game because it's fun for her, and in the end, there's a good social outcome. The bigger question, of course, is this scalable? And then the question of whether incentives work better than disincentives is the one that sort of sets this experiment a little bit apart from business as usual public policy making.
Well, I mean, that's the whole problem of the carrot and the stick, right? I mean, I would imagine that disincentive is sitting there in your car during rush hour for an hour longer than you normally would, right? But
one would think that's a big disincentive indeed.
Yeah.
But one of the ideas behind the Stanford program was that congestion pricing, for example, is not effective as a stick, and that the carrots, so the incentives, would be much more effective. And that's a curious way to frame the problem because we're not really sure what a disincentive is in that regard, I would say. We have, as a matter of public policy, been incentivizing driving by heavily subsidizing it for decades, I would say 10, 11, 12 decades, pretty much since we've been driving cars. So some examples include the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge. The price on the bridge to cross is $6 during peak time and $4 during the off-peak. So the question is the cost to cross the bridge $4? And if you drive when it's congested, you penalize $2? Or is the cost $6 and you are rewarded $2 for driving in the non-peak periods?
Well, let's hear one more comment from Amaya again. Let's hear what she has to say about creating a habit.
The largest difference that I've noticed is definitely after work. And if you leave at the 5 o'clock hour, you sit in traffic for like average 27 minutes. And now if I leave later in the evenings, it takes me 10 minutes. So I will continue trying to come during non-peak hours.
That would argue that sometimes it's just a matter of making people aware of how long they're sitting in traffic, that once they become aware of it, they don't want to do it anymore. Right, Rachel?
Well, I think people know. I think that Amaya probably already knew that if she left work later, it would take her less time. I assume that she lives near where she works and she drives around on the weekends and at night. And I think that people tend to be quite aware of what the traffic situation is. And so what that tells me is that Amaya didn't really care that much about the traffic. She really cares about the fun of the game. Now, how long will the novelty of the game last? How long will it stay fun?
Are there incentive programs that actually work? I assume one of the reasons this might work, at least in the short term, is because her work is willing to let her come in either a half hour early or a half hour later. That may not be true in every particular case.
That isn't true in every particular case, but it doesn't matter whether it's true or not in every particular case, because what's important is not to make everybody shift to the off-peak, because then that becomes the new
rush
peak.
Hour. Right.
Right. The idea is to be able to hit the few, and typically just 5 or 10% of traffic shifting is going to be sufficient to reduce travel time. There's one thing that we tend to forget about in these kinds of projects, and that is wherever there's congestion, there's latent demand. That means there's people waiting for there to be a little bit less congestion, and they'll get on the road too. So what we can do by shifting the time that people travel is spread all of the demand further throughout the day. Generally, we're not going to get less congestion, but we will get more productivity out of the system, which may be a perfectly positive thing. What we see in the case of New York City, for example, we have constant congestion, and Los Angeles as well. So there's no opportunity anymore to shift travelers to different times of day. And so the next thing is to try to shift people to more efficient modes.
Right. Well, in New York, you have the subway. In L.A., their public transportation system isn't quite as well developed. So that's a little difficult.
But they're working on it, and they're going to surpass us before you know it.
Really? You think so? Rachel Reinberger is a professor of city and regional planning at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also the author of Automotives, Understanding Car Use Behaviors. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
If you have an idea of an incentive that might get people to change their behavior, it doesn't have to be about cars. It could be about just about anything. We want to hear it. What would you give people to make them behave better? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment at thetakeaway.org.